Dr. Shabir, welcome to Let the Quran Speak.
My pleasure to be on.
The apocalypse, this is a term that's used in all sorts of movies and in popular media. People love thinking about the end of the world, the end of time, what will come. And we know that, you know, in world religions as well, there's a lot of reference to that in Christianity, in Islam, in Judaism, in many other religions. So Dr. Shabir, I thought it would be interesting to compare the Christian and Muslim view of the apocalypse. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about what the Christian view is.
Yeah, the Christian view largely is based on what is referred to as the Book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And it's called Revelation because it begins with the writer, presumably John, saying that this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a message, almost like Muslims understand that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, gets a revelation from God. He gets a message from God and tells us about things that will happen in the future. So this is the Book of Revelation. This book is also called Apocalypse. Apocalypse does not necessarily mean destruction. It means also revelation.
I was surprised to see that when I did some research into it. It could mean like an unveiling or
exactly,
revelation. Yes.
Exactly. But because the Book of Revelation speaks so much about the destruction of the world eventually, the destruction of the world and the institution of a new earth, new heavens and a new earth. The term apocalyptic tends to mean, in our popular parlance, destruction, or something is of apocalyptic proportions, which means, gigantic proportions, because the wrath of God is poured out in massive portions in the Book of Revelation. So basically, the Book of Revelation is a book of 22 chapters. It starts out with this idea that's a revelation from Jesus to John the Apostle, or John the Presbyter, the Elder. And then it has letters to the various churches that Jesus presumably is sending out to the churches, messages of warning to them because they have deviated from the right path. Their sins are outlined one after another. And then comes all of this doom and gloom that God is going to pour out his wrath on the world. And then eventually the institution of new heavens and a new earth towards the end. So some Christians see this as a nice closure to the Bible because the Book of Genesis had this ideal world, the Garden of Eden. And then the Bible is ending with the ideal world to come in the future. At one point, it speaks of the Christians being raptured up out from the world, and then comes a period of tribulation. So the Christians, good Christians, would not witness that period of tribulation. And it also speaks about Jesus coming back. And there are two views regarding this, whether Jesus would come back prior to a period of peace, which would last for 1,000 years, or Jesus would return after the period of peace, which would last for 1,000 years. In the latter case, it means that Christians would have this responsibility to work towards and to establish this period of peace for 1,000 years. So two different views can have different implications for Christian living. On the first view, that Jesus will come back and he will inaugurate the period of peace. That could mean lead to a pessimistic sort of assessment of the world, thinking that the world is so corrupt, nothing can fix it except the coming back of Jesus. So there are different ways of interpreting the Book of Revelation. And of course, because some of the imagery is so, in Christian terms, some Christians say so bizarre, that they prefer to interpret it in a metaphorical sense. They say it cannot be taken literally. It could not mean that.
Dr. Shabir, how important is the concept of apocalypse to Christian thought then?
Well, because it's part of the Bible, it has its importance. And it's not only because of the Book of Revelation alone, because the Book of Revelation actually so happens to be the last book that was approved to be part of the Christian canon of New Testament writings. The Syriac churches accepted it only in the 5th century, which means hundreds of years after Jesus and home be peace. But there are other passages as well which have an apocalyptic tone to it. So there are preachings of Jesus in the Gospels speaking about times of tribulations and so on, in the Synoptic Gospels in particular, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Mark chapter 13 especially, and corresponding passages in the other two Synoptic Gospels. So with that in mind, the apocalyptic scenarios, which are already in the Gospels, just play out to a greater extent in the book of Revelation. So even if some Christians prefer not to read the book of Revelation, in fact, on my way to the recording, I was listening to Christian speaking about the book of Revelation and telling us in a nutshell what the contents are. And he said that some Christians are afraid to read the book of Revelation. So in any case, whatever the response to the book of Revelation, the preachings of Jesus already has this kind of apocalyptic overtone in the Gospels. And so that is very much a part of Christian thinking about what will happen in the future.
Mm-hmm. What about Islam, Dr. Shabir? Islam has its own apocalyptic story. How does that compare to Christianity?
Yeah, so in the Islamic tradition, we have some descriptions of end times, and many of these descriptions are very similar to what we know about from the Christian and other apocalyptic writings, partly because the Muslims borrowed themes and topics and so on from other communities. And some of these were attributed back to the Prophet, peace be upon him. So we have in Islamic tradition the mention of the Dajjal, the Antichrist, who is also mentioned in the book of Revelation. But there are more elaborate descriptions in Islamic tradition that the Dajjal will be, it seems like a human being, but descriptions vary. But in any case, he is said to have been blinded in the right eye. And he will have the word kufr, which means disbelief, spelt with three letters of the Arabic alphabet, kaf, fa, and ra. This will be written on his forehead. And Muslims would recognize it immediately to know that this is really the Antichrist. He's called in Arabic al-Masih ad-Dajjal, the false Christ. Using the same term al-Masih, which means the Christ or the Messiah, but with the appendage that he's the false one. It is known from Islamic tradition that Jesus, on whom be peace, will descend at a certain time after the Antichrist has already been wreaking havoc on earth. Most so in the Islamic tradition, not that he's destroying things so much, but that he's turning believers astray by getting believers to worship him as opposed to worshiping God. Then Jesus will descend on the wings of two angels on a mosque in Damascus, in Damascus. And he will then go out and find the Antichrist at a place near what is Tel Aviv today, at a place called Lud, and he will thrust a spear into this Antichrist's body, in the meantime had begun to melt just by seeing Jesus, and the spear would be the final undoing of him. Then Jesus will usher in a period of peace, which is said in Islamic tradition to be lasting for 7 years, after which eventually there will be other signs and tribulations, so that if we think about the equivalent of the Christian rapture, it is mentioned in Islamic tradition that there will be a breeze coming through the land that will take up the souls of the believers, so that the worst that is to come will be experienced by those who remain after the believers are taken away. I should add that these detailed scenarios of the end times are not mentioned in the Quran. The Quran has some brief mentions about things being destroyed, the earth and this whole system being destroyed, and God, you know, having his own judgment of people.
The Quran speaks about the Day of Judgment very prominently, right?
Yeah, yes. That is repeated in the Quran. It's one of the main articles of faith of the Muslim doctrine, that we believe in God and we believe in the last day.
Yeah, and that everything will be destroyed and then the Day of Judgment will come.
Will, yes.
And human beings will be kind of accountable for their for their sins, right?
Yes.
And then there will be some sort of, you know, heaven or hell, or paradise or hell, or whatever there is at the end, right?
Yes, yes. In the Bible, in the New Testament in particular, the judgment is assigned to Jesus.
Okay.
In the Acts of the Apostles, Paul declares that, you know, God has appointed one man to judge the world. And in the Quran, the judgment is to God alone. God is the supreme judge, and he will judge us on the day of judgment. That's why we say Maliki Yawmiddin. He's the owner of the day of judgment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your time, Dr. Shibir.
You're welcome.
If you enjoyed this video, click like and subscribe. And please donate to support our work at QuranSpeaks.com.